You're Reverend. But I always tell them my friends call me Chuck, all right? So y'all call me Chuck. Will that work? And I understand y'all don't have a pastor right now. So I want to do something. I'm going to give you my phone number, my cell phone number, in case anybody gets sick and they throw you in the hospital. I'll come visit with you, okay? Seriously. So my area code's 501. This is my cell phone. And you can text me. 501 area code 804-6691. 804-6691. And Brother Gary has it, and Brother Head has it. You can, if you don't get that, you can contact either one of them. They've got my phone number as well. Seriously, if anybody gets sick in the hospital or anything like that, because I'm going to be with you the next two Sundays also, Lord willing. And so I'm looking forward to being with you. I've been at Cedar Heights Baptist Church. We're up at the Morgan Maumelle exit off Interstate 40 if you're going toward Conway. Instead of going left toward Maumelle, go back to your right and go a full mile back down toward Oak Grove. Cedar Heights Baptist Church is right there on the old highway. This past January, we celebrated 31 years there as the senior pastor. So you know it's a very patient church. Somebody say amen. And also, we started a transition time. It's called a succession plan. And so a little over 4 years ago, we actually brought aboard my replacement. And I told him last summer, a year ago, I said, when January 1 gets here of 2021, you will become the senior pastor and I'm just going to do ministry. And so that's where we are right now. I'm just doing what I love doing. I told our church back in 89 when they were talking with me about maybe coming there, I said, if you're looking for a preacher that's going to sit behind a desk and wait for the phone to ring, we need to quit talking. Because I ain't that guy, amen? I love being out and about and doing ministry. And so, seriously, if anybody gets in the hospital, give me a call and I'll be honored to pay visit and things like that, okay? I was down here a week ago. There was a cemetery somewhere not far from here. And we had a funeral for one of our, I'm a chaplain with Placid County Sheriff's Department, and one of our deputies, a lady deputy, passed away. She had fought cancer for a good while, Miss Cluse, Stephanie. And so I was down here, helped with that funeral service, and Brother Herman Hutt and one of our sergeants with the Sheriff's Department, we stopped by here, and I walked all over your property and kind of got a feel for your property here. Beautiful setting you have here, and got to pray over the facility thinking about today. So it's a real honor to be with you. Again, my name is Chuck. One thing I love, by the way, when I found out y'all met at 10 o'clock for worship, I thought, man, that's exciting. I'll have an hour and a half I can preach before noon. Somebody say, oh, me. I don't have that much wind, I don't think. I love to visit with children. One thing I do is I've got a duck. It's a hand puppet duck. And his name is Chucky Ducky. And I love to talk. If you ever have any children, I love to talk. He talks to him kind of like this. Hello, everybody. How you doing? Good to see you. We have a daycare at our church, an academy. We've got kids from 6 weeks old through high school. And so once a week I get to meet with the preschool kids and we get to have Chucky Ducky. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, love working with children, teenagers. I've done youth work before. Spent a few years in evangelism. When we got out of seminary, moved to Shawnee, Oklahoma, spent a couple of years there. Grew up in Fort Smith, Arkansas. How many of y'all ever been to Fort Smith? Now, over there, we call it F.T. Smith. Now, I was born in 1951. How many of y'all are doing math right now? So that means last July, I turned 70 years old. Y'all want to hear my draft story? I want to tell y'all my draft story. By the way, you can be turning to Isaiah chapter 6 while I run my mouth up here. So my birthday was July 6, 1951. So I graduated from high school in 1969. Northside High School, Fort Smith. The Grizzlies. So my birthday being in July, when I actually graduated, you know, I was still 17. The end of May, beginning of June, I was still 17. 1969, Vietnam's going kind of hot and heavy. How many of y'all remember Vietnam? Well, I wanted to join the military. My mom was a single mom, so she wasn't going to sign for me. This is a true story. You can't make this kind of stuff up. So I worked it out with a recruiter in Fort Smith. So the day before my birthday, on July 5th, they put me on a bus and bused me to Little Rock, put me up overnight in a hotel. And so the next day, on my birthday, I swore in to the United States Marine Corps. 3 weeks later, I'm in San Diego at boot camp. I didn't register for the draft. I swore in on my 18th birthday, right? Y'all, a year and a half later, I'm in Vietnam. It's a true story. I'm in Vietnam, and I get a letter from Selective Service. It even had my foreign post office box address on it, FPO address. You have failed. You have neglected this threatening letter. So I got some guys from, I was in helicopters. I got some guys, and we went out and I burned my letter. They may still be looking for me. I don't. You can't make that up, amen? So I am a full 70 years old, and thank God to be 70. Amen. Any veterans in here? Any of you guys ever in the Navy? You squid. Semper Fi. Do or die. Squid. Were you on board ship? I spent 3 months on a helicopter carrier, LPH-10 Tripoli. Did you really? God bless you. God bless you. Okay. I want to talk today, I've titled the message today, Our Obscured Reality. Our Obscured Reality. And I probably won't preach till noon. But I could. But I probably won't. Our obscured reality. I really hope, pray that you'll listen today. Because it's got everything to do with what's going on in our country, what's going on in the world. And you and I have to be very, very careful not to let cultural situations and issues obscure the spiritual reality that you and I live in. So that's kind of the thumbnail, okay? That's the thumbnail. If you would stand with me, I'm going to read the first three verses of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and I'm reading this morning from King James Version. I typically use the Holman Christian Standard Bible, but I like the way, in the second point, the way this translation kind of highlights what I'm going to be sharing, second point. Okay, verse number one, Isaiah chapter 6. After I read, then I'll say a prayer, and after the prayer, you'll be seated. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Kind of gives you chills, doesn't it, just thinking about that. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And listen to this. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you this morning in the name and through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus. We owe you everything. We thank you, Father, for your holy word you have given to us. We thank you for the many, many word pictures in your word. And we thank you for the reality and the truth and the veracity of your word that you've given to us. As you said, Lord Jesus, heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away. And I just pray that you would speak to us through the truth of your word, that your spirit would speak to our hearts, and Lord, forgive these stuttering, stammering lips that I have. Just speak to us. For your glory, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, I'm talking about an obscured reality. So my first point I've titled, When God Says Whoa. W-O-E. So turn back to Isaiah chapter 5. And I want us to look real quick at the cultural reality that was going on when Isaiah had this great vision of the throne room in chapter 6. So in the first five chapters of Isaiah, the cultural reality of Isaiah's day was pretty bleak. All right? There were a lot of problems in Israel. I'm not even talking about around the whole world. In Israel, they were dark days, cultural days in Israel. As a matter of fact, we find here in Isaiah chapter 5, six woes. And I want to tell you something. When God says woe unto you, that ain't good. Somebody say amen. I mean, for example, I'm reminded of Jesus when he said, it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto them through whom they come. It would be better a millstone be tied around his neck and cast into the sea than he cause one of these least of these little ones to stumble. There's a lot of effort these days to have little ones stumble. Amen? I'm sure you're seeing it, you're hearing it. So I just want to highlight these six woes. This is the cultural reality that Isaiah is in. And before we get to chapter 6, like in the first five chapters, Isaiah is a priest, okay? He's a priest in Israel. He's a priest in Jerusalem. And this is what he's seeing. Verse number 8, Isaiah 5:8 is the first one. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field. There's no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. And what I title this woe is my least favorite word in the English language. You ready? Stuff. Stuff. S-T-U-F-F. You know, the only thing I see being built over in our area, around the Morgan Maumelle area, the only thing I see being built over there is storage buildings. Have you all noticed all the storage buildings going up? What do they put in storage buildings? Stuff! Stuff that they will never use, right? But we got to have more stuff. That's kind of what that verse number 8 is talking about. Just always getting more and more stuff. I think about that where Jesus talked about the rich man and Lazarus. You know, Lazarus poor beggar, about ready to die, and that rich man, oh, eat, drink, and be merry, you know. I got all this stuff. And Jesus looked at him. And this is the only one Jesus looked at and said, you're a fool. I want to tell you what, for God to look at you and call you a fool is terrifying. Jesus said, you're a fool. Tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose stuff shall this be? Remember that? That's verse number 8. Woe unto you. One thing I've done at our church early on when we first came there, I always like to tell people we've been there since 1989. We moved into the parsonage on Saturday, December 30th. And December 31st of 89, I preached my first sermon at Cedar Heights. So I tell them, I can put it on my resume, I've been here since 1989. And one of the first things I did, having been in the service and been in other places in the world, like Vietnam and the Philippines and Okinawa, yada, 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 it's good for Americans to know the whole world doesn't live quite like we do. Amen? So I started taking, before we went to Cedar Heights, I was involved in doing, you know, volunteer mission work. We'd go to Mexico. We'd go into Mexico, to Monterrey, Mexico. We'd cross the border at Laredo. Then it's about another 150 miles into Monterrey. And so when I first got to Cedar Heights, we got going doing mission work. And we've been to Honduras and Peru, El Salvador, we go now. Our lead pastor now just got back. Three of our folks just got back. All I can say is from the Mideast. That's all I can say where they were. And one reason why I wanted our church to go somewhere outside of the borders of America is to give us just a taste of the way the rest of the world lives. Y'all, God has blessed this country. And that's a blessing, but there's also a side of me that's almost kind of terrifying. When I think about that rich man, woe unto you. Whose stuff will this be? You know, with God's blessing comes some responsibility, amen? Woe unto you, house to house, field to field stuff. Okay, the second woe, verse number 11. I call this one party hardy. Y'all know the phrase party hardy? Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning that they may follow strong drink. Continue till night, till wine inflame them. And it goes on, party hardy. Do y'all see any party hardy going on around us in our culture today? Everywhere we look. The high life, the good life, live for myself. There's a marquee when you come like from Conway on 40 toward our exit, the Morgan Maumel exit. So when you're coming back east on Interstate 40 from Conway, when you take the exit to come on the old Conway Highway there, there's a marquee sign up there and it's got a young lady and I think it's advertising fidelity. That's beside the point. Your best life now. Y'all seen that advertisement? Every time I see that and I think, oh, woe unto us. Party hardy. I actually saw a video of one guy recently. I just do what's good for me. What's good for me? What makes me happy? Yeah. Woe unto you. So, party hardy. All right, the third woe. Look at verse number 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were with a cart rope. And it goes on. And what this is talking about, drawing iniquity with a rope, is adding sin to sin. You know one thing about sin? You don't hear the word sin much in our culture anymore, do you? As a matter of fact, if you were to use like on social media, on Facebook, if you were to say someone did something that was a sin, ooh, you would get banned for hate speech. You don't believe me? Try it. And get ready. Not just might you be banned from Facebook, whoa, but all the negative feedback toward, oh boy, you would hear all kinds of, you are just an old, ugly, hateful, judgmental. You had the words there. I can't say them in public. Amen. When was the last time you heard some lifestyle called a sin? That's a banned word in our culture. That's kind of what verse 18 is talking about. With ropes, just adding sin to sin. And you know, that's one thing about sin. Sin always promises much, but delivers what? Nothing. Very little. Disappointment or a craving for more. Sin's never satisfied. Never satisfied. Okay, so that's the third one. Okay, go to verse 20. I probably don't even have to expound on verse 20 very much when you hear this. Verse number 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Does that sound like anything going on in our culture today? That call evil good and good evil? Whoa. Whoa. God, catch my breath. I'm sorry. Makes me want to cry. Whoa. Under them. 21. The next woe. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. You don't see any of that in our culture, do you? Wise in their own eyes. Got it all figured out. Another way to describe that is the word pride. Prideful. Self-centered. Arrogant. Woe unto them. And the more you think about it, the more these very things are kind of promoted as desirous in our culture. Culturally speaking. And then the last one, verse number 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. And it goes on. So that's the culture that Isaiah lived in. That's kind of a summary of the first five chapters of Isaiah. And I want to make the point here. When you live in a culture with that kind of stuff going on, you know what it does? It kind of grabs your attention. It gets your attention. And you know what happens when that kind of stuff gets your attention? It gets your attention off of God. And one thing I learned, one of our men in our church is an expert pistol shooter. Competition. I mean, he's good. And here about, I don't know, 27, 8 years ago, he gives me a Smith & Wesson Model 66 357 wheel gun, revolver. And I'd never shot pistols very much. When I was in the service, I shot a 50 caliber machine gun. A little bit of difference between a 50 cal and a 357. And so Jim, the man in our church, he says, well, let's take this, Chuck, let's go up there to the pistol range up above Mayflower, you know, Game and Fish pistol range, and let you sight it in. Okay. So we go up there, and I don't know, that first target's about maybe 7.5 yards away, something like that, 20 feet. It's got a bullseye about that big around. That's a pretty big bullseye, man, for 7.5 or so yards. I mean, when we did the rifle range, in our closest place we shot, the rifle range was 200 meters, and that was about how big the bullseye was at 200 meters. So I'm like, okay. So I get the 0357, shoot 6 rounds, and I'm all over the target. Target's this big, right? Bullseye's about like that. I think I got one in the bullseye. And I handed the pistol to Jim. I said, Jim, that pistol's not very accurate. And Jim said, let me see it. So he, you know, he gets the casings out of it. He puts 6 new rounds in it. And he sits there and he levels down. And I'm not kidding. He shoots the 6 rounds. And he's got all 6 rounds in a pattern that big. In the middle of the bullseye. And he hands me the pistol. He said, there's nothing wrong with your pistol, Chuck. And then he said, you know, you kind of hit what you're aiming at. You kind of hit what you're aiming at. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about focus. Focus. Isaiah lived in a culture that had a lot of problems, a lot of social issues going on, right? And you know where his focus was? On the stuff going on. Do you ever get the idea? Do you ever tend to get really focused on what's going on in our culture? Does it make you upset? Does it bother you? Let me tell you, we need to be careful where our focus is. I mean, I got called by one of my neighbors one day last week, and he said, Chuck, I need to talk to you. So I said, okay, I'll be down there. So I went down. I said, what's going on? He said, I'm thinking about killing myself. I said, really? I'm thinking about suicide. I said, why are you thinking about suicide? And he said, man, I feel hopeless. I said, what, do you have a diagnosis for something like cancer? No, cancer, nothing like that. I just feel hopeless. I said, why do you feel hopeless? Well, you know, and they started talking about all the stuff going on. Anxiety. Dread. I said, you've been watching the news lately? Yeah. Any of you guys watching the news lately? You got one wise man back there. Plays bass guitar. He said, no. If you watch the news, you know what's going to happen to you? Dread, fear, anxiety, stress. I mean, I love it when, I'm not knocking any one particular station, but I love it when ABC News comes on, David Muir comes on, in breaking news, this is right off the press, just breathless, every day, amen? Every, right off the press, breaking news today. And by the time that 30 minutes is over, if you think about it, you're almost short of breath. I mean, it's a pandemic, amen? A pandemic. Oh my gosh, with terrorism on home. I mean, it's just on and on and on. And we're living when there is a lot of negative news going on. Anybody say amen? It's all around us. It's all around us. It's almost like, whoa. I mean, we get the feeling, whoa, unto us. And then the highlight. What time is it? What time do I have to be through? Noon? the last straw. So this is the cultural picture. Then comes the last straw. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1 is the last straw for Isaiah. In the year King Uzziah died. Listen, there's a mouthful in that statement. Uzziah died. Let me ask you, if you got your Bible, turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I want to highlight 2 Chronicles 26. I want to highlight that issue of Uzziah, King Uzziah dying. This was the epitome of the woes going on. This was the epitome of the cultural tragedies taking place. Uzziah had been a very popular king. Uzziah had been a very successful king. As a matter of fact, when he took the throne here in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse number 3, when he became king, he was only 16 years old. Can you imagine having a 16-year-old president? Now, I know sometimes we may have presidents that act 16. And I'm not pointing a finger at anyone. I'm not going to get political. They all need our prayers. Amen. He takes over at 16. Look at verse number 5. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That sounds good, doesn't it? It is good. He was a very successful king. Under his leadership, he was king for like 50-something years. And under his kingship, and because he sought the Lord, God blessed him. God blessed Israel. They had like an economic recovery going on. They had environmental recovery going on. Their crops flourished. Things were great. Look at verse number 7. God helped him against the Philistines. Their military grew in strength. Their enemies were subdued by God. Verse number 8, the Amorites gave gifts to Uzziah. Amorites were sworn enemies, but they saw good things were going on. They were fearful. They were giving him gifts. Verse number 9, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate. He was a building king. He was building stuff. Verse 10, he built towers in the desert, digged many wells, for he had much cattle. I mean, he was digging wells all over Palestine. Verse number 11, moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men, talking about his army was so successful. Verse number 15, he made in Jerusalem engines, the King James says. He made engines in Jerusalem invented by cunning men on the towers. And these are things that like would shoot boulders at the enemy, you know, catapults and things like that. I mean, he had Jerusalem fortified in so many ways. And Israel was blessed because, as it said at the start, he sought the Lord. Verse 16 starts with this very telling little three-letter word. Or we might say, however, but. Anytime you hear that word in the middle of a sentence, it's usually not real good, but. But what? Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. What happened to Uzziah? Let me tell you. He got prideful. It was God that had helped him. God had strengthened him. God had led him. But now then, you know, one of the most dangerous places you and I can be in is when we have the least little success has a tendency to go to our head. Somebody say amen. Come on. It went so far to this king's head. You know what he did? You can read it on, read there. I'm going to go into the temple of God and I'm going to offer a sacrifice to God. In other words, the only people that were allowed into the temple, into the holy place, much less the Holy of Holies, were the priests. And Uzziah was not a priest. I'm going in and I'm going to offer sacrifice. I'm going to offer incense. And a whole group of priests saw what he was doing, intending to do, and they went to him and they tried to intervene with him. They begged him, Uzziah, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Get out of my way. And he bolted into the sanctuary with his incense offered to God, and God slapped him with leprosy in front of the priests. Immediately his face covered with white scabs, leprosy, and he was banished from the throne, not just the temple now, but the throne of Israel, and he lived in isolation until verse 1 of Isaiah 6, in the year King Uzziah died. Some of you all are old enough, some of you, I'm not going to point fingers, to remember when President John Fitzgerald Kennedy was assassinated. I remember. I was in the 7th grade, Fort Smith, Arkansas. President Kennedy had flown into Fort Smith, Arkansas not long before that. He flew into Fort Smith because he was going to go over to Oklahoma and congratulate Oklahoma on some dam that they built over there. I saw President Kennedy when he flew into Fort Smith, Arkansas and landed. He got out of the airplane and he came and did about a 5-minute little speech. They had a stage set up. It's all he didn't get off the airport grounds, but he came and gave a speech. I was there. My family took us there. And I got to see President Kennedy live a couple of months before he was killed in Dallas, Texas. And if you're old enough to remember that, you remember very well the dark veil that fell over our nation. Ooh. Y'all remember? The depression, despair, fear, unbelief. I was in 7th grade. We'd been out to lunch and we came in from lunch. I think it was geography class. And we walked into the classroom. My teacher was weeping. She was crying her eyes out. We hadn't heard what had happened. She told us the president's been killed. They dismissed school. That's kind of what Isaiah is seeing. All the woes, woe, woe, woe. And now the epitome of the woes, the highlight of the woes, this loved, successful king dies under the judgment of God. Whoa. Can you kind of feel the heaviness there? I think it's a whole lot like what we see culturally in our country today. Whoa. Those that call evil good and good evil and on. And on the party hardy, your best life now, on and on. Storage building, storing up stuff, and wanting more stuff. It drove the priest, Isaiah, it drove him to his face in the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He's seeking God. What has he been looking at for five chapters? The cultural stuff. His focus, he was accurate. I mean, his vision was clear. He saw clearly what was going on. No problem with that. But now then, when this epitome of Uzziah dying, now he's on his face and he sees God. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord seated on the throne, high and lifted up, and above him was seraphim, each with six wings, with twain that covered their face, with twain that covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. And they were calling one to another. Listen to this, because here's the point. This he hadn't been seeing. He hasn't been seeing this. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Listen to this. Underline this in your Bible. If you've got your Bible open there, underline this. The whole earth is filled with his glory. With his glory. I want to ask you, East End Baptist Church, have you been filled with the glory of God? Or has our focus been on the woes? You see what I'm saying? And they want your attention. The woes want your attention. And when the woes have your attention, it keeps our eyes off the glory of God. And let me tell you what. Isaiah saw it 2,700 years ago, and you know what? It's still here. The glory of God is still here. This world is still filled with the glory of God. Do we see it? Or are we filled with woe? Woe in us. Like my neighbor, Chuck. I've got anxiety. I told my neighbor, quit watching the news. You know what's going to be on there, right? You know, the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen? If you're watching the news 24/7, you don't have a merry heart, I'm telling you. It'll blind, not just the news. I'm not knocking ABC, NBC, CBS. In particular, just all of the cultural stuff going on. Oh, anxiety, dread, despair, hopelessness. Wait a minute. Let me tell you something from the Word of God. This earth is filled with the glory of God, child of God. Filled with it. The devil doesn't want you to see that. And I want to tell you something. God is at work in our world. Let me give you just one crazy example in a good crazy way. The pandemic. We've been shut down, right? In our church, we've followed all the protocols. So I'm not knocking any of that. I'm not going to get into QAnon conspiracy theories. We've followed protocols. I've had my shots, my wife and I have had my shots, et cetera, et cetera. And we've worn the mask. We even roped off pews there for a while a year ago. I mean, we've followed the protocols. This past November, almost a year ago, we've been doing mission work. I mentioned mission work. I've gotten to go to El Salvador. Y'all ever hear of El Salvador? Yeah. And do mission work. I've been there three times. Wonderful. Our local pastor there is, man, he's like an apostle. Last November, he put together a virtual crusade. All right? And so there were five of us preachers that had been going to El Salvador. I'm supposed to go next month in November again, fourth time. He put together a virtual crusade over Zoom. and Facebook. He put this together. He's got, you know, other pastors he's linked up with. Do you know how many? I preached one night last November. I preached one night from the vestibule at our church, Cedar Heights Baptist Church. One of my members, from the years we went to Mexico, a couple of my young men married girls from Mexico, and they're here now. So one of those young ladies translated for me live. Bailey was with me. And it was broadcast live through El Salvador into 32 nations. And the night that I preached, there were over 3.5 million logged in to the live service. And some of those, some of those were churches like here, and they were broadcasting up on their screens. We have no idea how many were actually watching. But we had over 3.5 million actually logged. If you would have told me 3 years ago that at one time in my life, I was going to preach to over 3 million people, I'd have thought you were insane. Somebody say, amen. The devil's doing, let me tell you something about Satan. He's a serpent, right? And a serpent loves to work undercover, you know, slithering around on his belly. And you know what happens when the serpent raises his head? He feels threatened. Do you think Satan's raising his head this day? I'm telling you, he's threatened. You know why? Because God's at work. God's at work in this world in an amazing way. We have opportunities to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ like never in human history. I want to ask you a question. We're getting ready for invitation time. So y'all come on up. Are you ready to see the glory of God? To get our gaze on the glory of God and what God is doing in the world today? And not let the cultural issues of our day consume us. We need to be consumed with the glory of God. You know, you and I, New Testament tells us we are the temple of the Spirit of God. You are the temple. As a child of God, you have the Spirit of Almighty God living in you. We have in our hands the inspired Word of God. We have been saved, redeemed by the blood of the Son of God. We are adopted sons and daughters of God. I just want to encourage us today, as the writer of Hebrews says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Now, if you're here this morning, if you happen to be here and you're not a believer, give your life to Christ today. Okay? There's no reason to go one more day without Christ. No reason. He loves you. He died for you. Join with me in prayer, and after our prayer, we'll have the invitation hymn. Father in heaven, We love you. We thank you, Father, for your word you've given to us, for the truth of your word. We thank you for this day, this time. It's no accident. It's no accident, Father, that we have been chosen by you to live in this day. This is our day. Help us to see you, that we might be, as Jesus said, light. That we might be light in a very dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all want to stand up?
Stand. Hymn 417. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed, he will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Well, thank you very much for being here, Brother Chuck. Thank you. Look forward to having you with us a couple more weeks. Make sure you keep praying for our church and our search committee as they are meeting and seeking God's man for our church. So we're going to... Yes, sir. All right, we're going to sing the blessing from Numbers chapter 6.